Good morning, Ebenezer family and friends. It is just so good to be back together. God is so good. If you're just excited about Jesus and salvation and who he is, can you just give God a hand clap of praise? Lift up those hands, get in the chat, do what you do. Those claps there, those hallelujahs. God has been so good to us. I'm just excited about his mercies upon our lives. And if you see my backdrop, we're going to get back into that topic, going back to the basics, back to the basics. And the Word of God, we take it for granted that it is God inspired, God breathed upon us that we can have direction for our lives. So many things have been going on at Ebenezer, and we elicit your prayers. We had a dear member to pass away recently, Mother Wanda Lucas. Mother Wanda Lucas, for those that have been at Ebenezer for an extended period of time, you'll know that face. So for all the arrangements, please just stay connected with us at ebcnc.com, and you can go to our bereavement page and get all that information. Woodard has the body, so please pray for the entire Lucas family in this time of their grieving. But we know that God is so good, and he brings comfort to those who are going through times like these. Don't forget about that we are still living epistles of the Lord. We are an example of his immense grace and mercy in our lives that we can share that with others. We got so many things that are going on our website, our virtual connection to encourage us, our Monday manna, also our Tuesday noonday Bible study, and our Wednesday Bible study at 7 o'clock. Just so as we're going through our week, no matter where we are, I had a dear members, they were on vacation and they had gone a long way from Ebenezer. And they said, Pastor, it was a blessing to be able to stay connected while we were on our vacation. So we thank the Lord for technology and connecting us. Don't forget about our in-person Bible study at 6 o'clock on Thursdays. The Lord has just been doing amazing things. We had some very, very striking conversations over the Word of God as we've been going through the book of 1 Corinthians, because it is giving us direction for our lives. Please pray for our 8:45, our 10 o'clock, and our 10:45 services, that we can continue to lift up Jesus and that more souls can be saved and brought to the knowledge of the truth of him. Thank you so much for your giving, whether you're giving by our mailbox or you're using our app or you're in our in-person service. We thank you. God has really put that Corinthian scripture on our heart that God loves cheerful givers, that we can purpose in our hearts and give not grudgingly or of necessity. So we thank God for that. And we thank the Lord that he ultimately is our provider. Well, I'm thinking about the word today. I'm ready to get into it, and I know you're going to be blessed. So I want us to prepare our hearts and to receive what God has for us. We'll see you soon.
So I'm going to be reading this morning from 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, and I read from the NLT version. If I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noise, a noisy gong, or a clanging cymbal. If I had gifts of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans, and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would be gaining nothing. Love is patient, love is kind, love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. Love never loses faith. It is always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. Prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever. But love will last forever. Now our knowledge is partial and incomplete, and even the gift of prophecy reveals only part of the whole picture. But when the time of perfection comes, these partial things will become useless. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I thought and I reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. Now we see these things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. All that I know now is partial and incomplete, but then I will know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely. Three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love.
Well,
what a mighty good friend he is,
that man
from Galilee.
What a mighty
good friend he is.
He died
to set me free.
And he brought me.
Yes, he did.
And he taught me.
Yes, he did.
And he saved me.
Yes, he did.
And he raised me.
Oh, yes, he did.
What a mighty
good friend he is.
He's got the sweetest name
I know.
What a mighty
good friend he is.
That man
from Galilee.
What a mighty
good friend he is.
He died
to set me free.
And he brought me.
Yes, he did.
And he taught me.
Yes, he did.
And he saved me.
Yes, he did.
And he raised me.
Oh, yes, he did.
What a mighty
good friend he is.
What a mighty
good friend he is.
He's got the sweetest name
I know.
And when I call him
in the morning,
call him
in the evening.
When I call
him, I call him late at night.
When I call him
in the morning,
when I called him
in the evening,
he always
makes it right.
And he brought me.
Yes, he did.
And he taught me.
Yes, he did.
And he saved me.
Yes, he did.
And he raised
oh,
me.
Oh, yes, he did.
What a mighty
good friend he is.
What a mighty
good friend he is.
He's got the sweetest name
I know.
And when I call him
in the morning,
call him
in the evening.
And I call him,
I call him
late at night. When I call him
in the morning,
when I call him
in the evening,
he always
makes it right.
And he brought me.
Yes, he did.
And he taught me.
Oh, yes, he did.
And he saved
yes,
me.
Yes, he did.
And he raised
oh,
me.
Oh, yes, he did.
What a mighty
good friend he is.
What a mighty
good friend he is.
What a mighty
good friend he is.
He's got the sweetest name I know. I call him Jesus.
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 You're the Alpha.
Jesus.
And Omega.
Oh, Jesus.
You're my doctor.
Jesus.
Lawyer.
Jesus.
You're my provider.
Jesus.
I love you, Jesus.
Oh, Jesus.
I love you, Jesus.
Jesus.
Sing.
Jesus.
Say.
Jesus.
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 What a mighty
good friend he is.
What a mighty
good friend he is.
Hey!
What a mighty
good friend he is.
He's got the sweetest name
I know.
And when I call him
in the morning,
call him
in the evening,
and
I call him late at night.
When I call
him
in the morning,
when I call him
in the evening,
he always
makes it right.
And he brought taught me.
Yes, he did.
And he taught me.
Yes, he did.
And he raised me.
Yes, he did.
And he saved me.
Oh, yes, he did.
What a mighty good friend he is. What a mighty good friend he is. What a mighty good friend he is. He's got the sweetest name.
One more time. I know.
I call him Jesus.
Jesus.
Come on, y'all.
Jesus.
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 Oh, Jesus.
Your Alpha.
Oh,
Jesus. And Omega.
Jesus.
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 Oh, Jesus.
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 Yeah.
Jesus.
Whoa,
Jesus.
Jesus.
Jesus. What a mighty
good friend he is.
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 He's got the sweetest name I know.
It is so good to know what a mighty good friend he is to us. I just thank the Lord that we can come, we can sing together and just worship the Lord in the spirit of holiness. Before I go any further, I just want you to please just go in a word of prayer with me that the Lord can speak to us, that we can really get back to the basics. We can grow in the Lord and be all that he's called us to be. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you so much for who you are. You are wonderful. Thank you for saving us while we were yet sinners, Lord. And Lord, I pray that if there's someone that's looking or listening right now that doesn't know you, that today will be their day, that they will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you have raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. Let them know it's by grace through faith and not of themselves. It is a gift from you. Oh, that they receive that wonderful gift from you. Lord, we just thank you for your presence. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Would you teach us and guide us and lead us into all truth? Would you make this word so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a small child can be transformed to be like you? We just give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we've entered into a new year, 2024, we've entered into a new topic, back to the basics. If you were with us on last Sunday, I literally went through some of the topics that some members have given, and they just want to go back to the basics and get some understanding. And I just been praying through and be led of the Lord as we go through these different sections of the scripture. Today, I want to continue in the book of James. We were there on last Sunday. I want us to go down to that 18th verse, James chapter 1 and the 18th verse. And we're just going to progress our way. This chapter, as God has ministered to James, the half-brother of Jesus, really takes us back to the basics, takes those people who were going through persecutions and struggle at that time, letting them know, okay, this is how we stay focused. This is how the Lord uses us. James 1:18, of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Isn't that good? I want to speak from a title today, the word of truth. The word of truth. As we enter in this book, time frame is 46 to 49 AD. James, half-brother of Christ, he is the leader of the Jerusalem church at this time, and he has really progressed. He's grown in the Lord, and he is really discipling those that are around, those who are struggling, and encouraging them in their faith. James stresses that we just can't speak it out of our mouths, but we need to show actions in our faith. We need to walk it out. It can't be something that we just do on Sunday or when we come to Bible study, but literally God has called us to be his children, his servants, and we walk that out 24 hours, 7 days a week, 365 and a half, leap years, everything, that we proclaim Jesus is our Lord. Last time we were in that James chapter 1, and that fourth verse was our focus verse. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And we talked about the calm Christian. Can you just say calm Christian? That's what we want to focus on. I'm telling you, the Lord's been dealing with my heart, and that's been coming back up. Okay, patience. Some points in review from last time. We are servants of the Lord. Remember, we talked about that extensively. We have joy. Yes, because we're saved, we have joy. God is working on me. He's working on you. He's working on all of us. Christians, we ask for wisdom, right? We need wisdom. I had a conversation with someone the other day, and we were talking about wisdom. And I sent that scripture to that person that, hey, all we have to do is ask wisdom of the Lord. And then finally, we know that God hears us. Isn't that good to know? God hears us. Well, let's just jump into this section of scripture, this portion, starting out of that James 1 and 9. It reads, let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation. Here's the first point. God can lift you up. Yes, God can lift you up. God's word is the foundation for our Christian life. These 66 books, really, they order our steps. We get understanding of God as he has changed us from the inside out. These words that are breathed into our lives by God gives us that direction. Someone actually penned an acronym of the Bible. We were in our youth group on the first Sunday, and someone brought this up. One of our young people brought it up, and it refreshed my memory. That acronym was Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Yes, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. James, in this portion of the chapter, he's taking us back to the basics. He actually begins to deal with socioeconomic things. Yes, money things. He's looking through the lens of the word of truth to let us know the correct perspective when it comes to finances. Yes, even at that time in 45 AD, 46 AD, they struggled, you know, with their bartering system and other funds, and they had to figure out, okay, God, can you use me in a lowly state or a minimum wage state, or do I have to be rich to be used of God? But so many times we can, America, we focus on finances so much that we want to be rich. You know, I don't think anybody that you talk to, you like, they refuse any money that you give them. We desire more in our lives, but sometimes we can miss out on God. We can miss out on our family, and we can miss out on life in that pursuit of trying to get riches that haven't been blessed of the Lord. Life can come at us fast, and so many find themselves in a situation where they are struggling with monetary sources, and they're wondering, okay, God, is this a curse? But we must realize, as we're looking through or at this scripture through the lens of the word of God, that sometimes there are people that just can't handle money. Are there any amens? Go ahead and put it in the chat. Say amen. There are. It may not be your fault. Maybe you didn't get the teaching or training. I remember coming through my matriculation, I was blessed to get some financial classes that helped me to understand. But I realized some of you were always taught a debt mentality, and it's hard to change that process. But here, James is dealing with the fact that even in a lowly state, even in a struggling state, that God can still be lifted up. Let me show you. The fact remains, as we look at our lives, God could use us in whatever state we find ourselves in. Paul the Apostle speaks on this lowly state. He's written 3/4 of the New Testament, and he writes this in 1 Corinthians 4:10. Listen to this. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are distinguished, but we are dishonored. To the present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and we are poorly clothed and beaten and homeless. He's talking about, literally, he's like, we didn't have anything. We were struggling from hour to hour, and we labor working with our own hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we endure. Being defamed, we entreat. We have been made as the filth filth of the world. That's a lowly state. The off-scourging of all things until now. But I'm glad he doesn't stop right there. We're talking about the word of truth. We've got to get the right perspective even in those lowly states. He goes on to affirm in 1 Corinthians 15:9. He says, "For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." But somebody say, "But." Can you put in the chat, "But," wherever you're standing, sitting, say, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am." We need to embrace this. As James is talking to the people of his time, and Paul is giving us the scripture, whatever we are, it's by the grace of God, and his grace towards me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was within me, the word of truth. The question I have for you today, how are you using that which God has given you? Whether little or much, is God the center of that joy? Is God the center of everything that you're doing in your life? Whatever state we find ourselves in, God must be lifted up. We must never forget that God is the source of our financial stability. Philippians 4:19. I love this. This is one of the scriptures I memorized early in life. It says, "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus," the word of truth. James continues on with this. So he deals with the lowly state. He says, be encouraged. You know what? Even in that situation, God is with you. But guess what? There's a pendulum. There's another side, James 1:10. But the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field, he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass, its flower falls, and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits. Wow. Here's the point. Life is more than money. Yes, life is more than money. When we began to embrace the word of truth, we started to realize that even here in the United States of America, it seems like money is everything. That if you've got money, then you've got life. But I've seen so many people that have the riches of this world and their life is gone. Their family has been broken. There's so many struggles within their realm of existence. James, now he's dealing with people that are in his a circle of influence that are rich. He's like, okay, I've talked to the lowly person. Now I'm going to talk to the rich. It is interesting that he doesn't say this, "Let the rich man rejoice in his riches." Yes, because that's what our society pushes. If you have riches, then you're going to rejoice and everything's going to be okay. He does not say that, because that's not the reality when we look through the word of truth. Rather, he says, the contemporary English version really solidifies this in James 1:10, "But any who are rich should be glad when God makes them humble. Rich people will disappear like wildflowers." Wow. I want to read that again, because it really gets us, because I believe here in America, so many are rich, especially comparing to the world and all the things that they're going through. "But any who are rich should be glad when God makes them humble. Rich people will disappear like wildflowers." Saints, we have been blessed. The fact that we're able to connect lets me know there's some type of richness that's in your life, whether you have a smartphone that you're looking at this on, or whether you're on your computer or your big smart TV. Please understand, God has blessed us, but we have to have the right perspective when it comes to the word of truth. God speaks this to the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah 9:23, that really brings this thought again. "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might." Here it is. "Nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, for in these I delight, says the Lord." I remember growing up as a young man, I would look at TV, and I used to love, this is one of my favorite shows, The Life of the Rich and Famous. It had this guy, I don't know, would remember his name. He had this distinctive voice, and he would take us into the houses of the rich and famous. And I'm like, wow. And I would look at the little jets, and I was like, wow, they're really living the life. But he never said anything about Jesus, never said anything about their worship or what they were focused on. And as I've grown up, I realize if you don't have Christ in your life, man, you can have the whole world. And the scriptures say you can lose your soul. And so James wants to make sure that they understand that it has to be all about Jesus. Pastor Tony Evans, he wrote this, and it was striking to me, his illustration that he brought forth. He said, man was made from the ground. He's an earthling, and on his best day, he's just dignified dirt. Can you put it in the chat? Say dirt wherever you're standing, sitting, say dirt. In fact, every living person is only, here it is, he said this, about $3.57. $3, can you put it in the chat? I'm going to work you a little bit. $3.57. When a person dies, all your components return to dirt, and the value is only about $3.57. Some years ago, it's been many years now, I actually preached a sermon, $3.57. And it was striking to think that so often we get caught up in the riches of this world. We get caught up in our flesh, which is going to pass away. That's why we've got to know the word of truth so that we can, our steps be ordered to lift up God at all times. That's why the grounding of God's word is so important. Getting back to the basics is so important. As I was in school, I remember taking a class on Shakespeare, and Shakespeare wrote a poetic quotes from one of his, as one, it was actually Macbeth, and Macbeth in there, he says this, and it is stuck. I had to memorize it because we did one of these plays, and it stuck to me, letting me know the value of life and what it's all about. It says, tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow creeps in its petty pace from day to day to the last syllable of recorded time, and all our yesterdays have lighted fools the way to dusty death. Out, out, brief candle. Anybody know it's brief? Life's but a walking shadow, a poor player that struts and frets his hour upon the stage and then is heard of no more. It's a tale told by an idiot, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. I'm telling you, as we've been getting older, and as I've been getting older, and I have a circle of associates, and Ebenezer, and I'm seeing age creep in. It's something, man. When you're young, it seems to take a long time to get to certain ages, but when you start getting older, man, the days go by. So are they in the amen? Just say amen. Hallelujah. Wherever you are, it continues to move on so quickly. That's why we cannot take a second for granted. But there's good news. Peter understands the frailty of life, but he writes on the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in 1 Peter 1:24, still talking about that word of truth, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass withers and its flower falls away. But somebody say, but again, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now, this is the word which by the gospel was preach to you. That word of truth is what sustains us. The scriptures that God has given us helps us to have the right perspective as we walk through this world. Look at James 1:12. He writes, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. We're going to have temptations in this life. This is the point. Don't stop fighting. Yes, don't stop fighting. It seems that in the season and time of our world that there are more temptations with our connectivity. That's a blessing that we can connect online. There's so many things just at the touch of our fingertips that we can have and come in. I know some of you, you shop online, and it's so easy to get this and that and have it delivered same day sometime right to your door. Some of you don't even go to the grocery store anymore. You just shop right on your devices. That can be good. It can be rewarding. But at the same time, the enemy has produced so many temptations that are around us, not just in the media, not just in our technology, but just walking through the day, temptations after temptations. But we can't stop fighting because we have the word of truth in our lives. H.R. Palmer in 1868, he really captures his thought within the lyrics of this scripture, or actually this song that's based on the scriptures. Yield not the temptation, for yielding is sin. Each victory will help you some other to win. Fight valiantly onward, evil pass and subdue. Look ever to Jesus, he will carry you through. Shun evil companions, bad language disdain. God's name hold in reverence, nor take it in vain. Be thoughtful and earnest, kind-hearted and true. Look ever to Jesus, he will carry you through. I love that third stanza, to him that overcometh. That's right from the scripture. Palmer had it right. He built it right out of there. God giveth the crown. Through faith we will conquer, through often cast down. He who is our Savior, our strength will renew. Look ever to Jesus, he will carry you through. But I love that refrain. It says, ask the Savior to help you, comfort and strengthen and keep you. He is willing to aid you. He will carry you through. Any witnesses out there? That's what the word of truth does. That's what God sustains us in times of temptation. Notice again here in this James 1:12, blessed is the man who endures temptation. Here it is. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Now remember the context. We were talking about the lowly brother. We were talking about the rich brother. James is pulling those who are listening to him back to the fact that it's about the crown that God is going to give. You can have all the crowns in this world, but if we don't hear a well done, my good and faithful servant, it amounts to nothing. And so we have to realize it's not about what we necessarily have in this life, but it's about what God has prepared us in the afterlife. And the only way that we can embrace that again is through the word of truth. Look at James 1:13 as he continues to build here. He says, let no one say when he is tempted, I'm tempted by God. Back to the basics. He says, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. Listen to that again. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. That 14th verse. But each one is tempted. Here it is. I want you to get this. When he is drawn away by his own desires and entice, that 15th verse, then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Here's the point. Please get this one. The devil did not make me do it. Yes, the devil did not make me do it. Man, there's a saying that's been going on ever since I was born, probably, and I heard it as I grew up. Somebody would do something that was sinful, or they would make a mistake, and they would quickly say, the devil made me do it. But I want you to know, as Saints of God, the enemy, the devil, did not make us do it. There was a choice that was made. That's why the word of truth is so, so important. Look at James 1:14 again. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Can you put in the chat, I did it? Yeah, I did it. Wherever you're standing or sitting, just say, I did it. We've got to own up to it. We've got to own up to our sins. Yes, there were temptations. There were struggles that were around us. But ultimately, we made the choice to do what we've done. And that's why I love 1 John 1:9. It says, we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That means a change must take place within our lives. Jesus taught this in Matthew 15:19. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts and murderers and adulteries and fornications, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies. Yeah, in our heart, that's why we need a Savior.
The only way that you can literally accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior is to believe and to understand that there is nothing good that dwells in us. So the only way that we can make it in the kingdom is to accept the sacrifice that Jesus has done for us, and he is the only way that can wash away our sins. Someone may ask, how do I fight these temptations? James builds up on this. He says, okay, we're making these decisions, but I love Philippians 4:8 really gives us an understanding that the word of truth, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. I'm a witness. I believe we need to take this lens of truth and we need to put it on our movies. We need to put it on our internet watching, our social media, and ask ourselves, is this good for me? It has been proven even scientifically that many times what we take in, it really can mess with our mind or encourage us, just depending on the type of material that we're dealing with. The word of truth, the Bible, I encourage you to read more and praise God more and worship more, because the more we get that of God in us, the more change happens in our heart. We must learn to run to the Lord. Can you put in the chat, run, wherever you're standing, sitting, just say run. We got to run to the Lord. Proverbs 18:10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. I cannot tell you how many times I've had to plead the blood of Jesus. Say, Lord, I need you in this situation. I need you to help me and order my steps. And you know what? Every time I've called on him, any witness in the house, he always shows up. He always gives me the strength to stand. But I don't want you to forget this last portion of James 1:15. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. This is back to the basis. We can never forget the truth, the veracity of Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. Can you say death? Put it in the chat. Can you type it out? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's what the word of truth gives us, and that's what James is saying. When you stay with Jesus, when you keep Christ first, please understand everything changes around you. And now we walk in his empowerment, and we're able to purify ourselves through the word of truth and stand strong even in times of persecution. Look at these final scriptures as we sum this up for the day. James 1:16, back to the basis, the word of truth. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth. There it is again, the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Final point of the day, the gift of God's word. Yes. The gift of God's word. Through his word, I'm telling you, as we read it and we're taught and we grow, it transforms us. Romans 12:1 talks about that transformation of our minds as we give more and more to the Lord. Hebrews 4:12 talks about the power of the word of truth. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. That's what the word of God, when we get in the word of God, it begins to dig in us. That's why so many people don't read it. We've got our Bible plan that for many years we've been reading through the Bible together. This year we're going chronologically, and there's something that happens when you read through the word of God. There's something that happens when you put time aside aside in your day to sit down and commune with the Lord, I am telling you, we become more like him. We're those first fruits of his creation. That's what James is speaking to his congregation. He's saying, if you want to grow, if you want to get back to those bases, you got to get in the word of truth. God has given us his wonderful gift of the word of God to resist temptations of money, to resist temptations in our lives, that we can stand strong no matter what the enemy throws at us. I'm so glad about 2 Timothy 3:16. It says that all scripture, can you put all in the chat wherever you're standing, say all. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. God is saying the word of truth will take you through. It will order your steps. It will make you ready for anything that the enemy brings your way. As we conclude today and we think about what James has taught us, please realize that it's all about Jesus. Isn't he the example of the word of truth? Let me give you a scripture for that. John 1:1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was the life, and the life was the light of man. Isn't that good? Jesus is that literal word of truth that came from heaven to earth to walk among men, to heal the sick and to raise the dead. Jesus even spoke in Matthew 4:4, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We actually experience life when we get into God's word. Yes. It didn't stop there. He goes to the Garden of Gethsemane. He's betrayed by Judas Iscariot. He's beaten all night long. He goes to the cross of Calvary where he takes nails in his hands and nails in his feet. You know what? I've been thinking about that crucifixion. I've been thinking about the struggle that he took for us. Even as we've been going through our Bible studies on Wednesday, going to the book of Luke, do you know they screamed out, nail him to the cross, nail him to the cross. But I'm so glad our Savior took those nails in his hand and he cried out, it was finished. They put him in a cold grave, but there should be some shouting that goes on. The word of truth got up on the third day with all power and glory for us, and now he is praying for us. He's praying for us that we will embrace everything that he's left us. He's given us the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us into all truth, that we can stand strong in God's word. I had a dear gentleman to come to me a couple of Sundays ago and met me at the altar and said, Pastor, I'm reading the scriptures and the portion that he said, I just don't understand it. I don't understand it. And at that point, I didn't have time to take him through to all the scriptures, but I knew that the Holy Spirit dwelt on the inside. And I said, keep reading it. Keep reading it. Keep going over it. God's going to speak to your heart with that. And you know what happened? As he kept reading, God just had him exactly where he needed him. And even at that point when he talked, tears were bubbling up in his eyes. You know what? God spoke to him. Sometimes we're not going to understand it all, but as we meditate on it, as we continue to read it and we live life, God opens up the scriptures to us, and we can realize that the word of truth, this God word that he's given us, man, changes everything in our lives. Saints, I encourage you, no matter how many times that you read through the scriptures, you need to read more. I encourage you, saint, even if you haven't read through the scriptures yet, start reading. Get back to the basics. This is where God grows us. This is where we mature. This is where we become more like him. Some of you may say, Pastor, well, I have a reading handicap. I really struggle with reading and comprehension. Guess what? God has blessed us. You can have the Bible read to you. Your favorite AI can read to you, or you can have your favorite minister or spokesperson. Everybody's reading the Bible now. You can have it read. You can have different versions to give understanding. And most importantly, you can come to the fellowship, whether it's on virtual or in person, and we can understand God's word together, and we can grow. The word of truth builds our foundation. For those who don't know Christ, Maybe you've had so many struggles in your life. Maybe you've had church hurt. I want you to know that the Word of God will help you to stand. Unbelieved people get hurt when they don't understand God's word, when they allow people to speak into their lives that are not standing on God's word. They're just bringing forth opinions. But when you get into these 66 books, when you sense the Holy Spirit moving and speaking and teaching and guiding you, now the discernment is there. We get back to the basics and we can be the Christians that God has called us to be. For those today, if God is massaging your heart, man, he is grabbing you right now. You're saying, how? What must I do to be saved? Well, I'm glad you asked. He said, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and we believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it's by grace through faith and not of ourselves. It is a gift of God. That final point talked about the gift of the Word of God. It's the gift of God he has given us. And I'm telling you, it is so wonderful to know Jesus as Lord. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you that we're growing together, Lord. I thank you for the saints that are in your word. I thank you for James being used of you to speak out those epistles, those letters of encouragement to those that he was connected with, that no matter what they were going through, no matter their socioeconomic background status, they could be used if they keep you first. Lord, thank you for saving the poor. Thank you for saving the rich, Lord. Thank you that it's all about you. Now, Lord, I pray for those that may be challenged in reading the word or comprehension or understanding. Let them know that you've given multiple tools, but the most important one is the Holy Spirit that you said would teach us and guide us and lead us into all truth. And thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for grounding us in the basics of your word that we may stand before you one day and hear, well done, my good and faithful servants. Lord, we thank you for who you are. We give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
My soul was sinking in a world of sin, but grace and mercy, they took me in. Took my feet out of the miry clay and placed them on a rock to stay. Oh, what a relief it was when God rescued me. Ooh, he lifted the chains that had me bound, and then he set me free. And it felt like
cooling water,
cooling water,
cooling water.
It felt like
cooling water,
cooling water,
cooling water,
cooling water.
Find grandma's well.
Nights in so much pain, couldn't see no sunshine, nothing but rain.
But God said,
weeping may endure for a night, but in the morning
it will be alright. Whoa, what a relief it was
when God rescued me. He broke the chains that had me bound.
Cooling water,
just like I knew
cooling water.
gasoline.
Pour it all out.